What is baptism? Baptism is a sacrament, a divinely instituted event that has universal supernatural repercussions. It's not some ordinary thing where we get dressed up for, have a party, and then we forget it. What we do in all the sacraments is encounter the living God in a very powerful way. And in encountering God, there is an effect that happens to us. Now, the problem is, if we don't pay attention to that effect, it's lost on us. So in baptism, we have the individual cleansed of original sin. We have the imparting of this fantastic power called sanctifying grace. That's God's power within us. And God gives a commission to the person who is baptized. They're given a commission, something to do. So all of us who have been baptized have been told, this is what I want you to do by God. And incidentally, whenever we celebrate the sacraments, all of heaven and earth come together. So this church is filled with angels and saints. Maybe the 10 new saints that were canonized today are, well, they're here. They're here. Maybe some of you see them, maybe some of you don't. I don't see them, but I know they're here. That's why this is a supernatural event. It's not just some rite of passage that we do because we're supposed to do it. It means a lot. Now, what is the commission we're given in baptism? I'm going to put it very simply. God wants us to get everybody into heaven. God wants us to get everybody into heaven. So if we melt it all down, that's the commission. That's the commission that you have, that I have, that the whole church has, that all Christians have. And we are called to let people know there is a loving God who loves them, who is pursuing them, who died for them out of love, so that hopefully they will turn to the Lord and say, I want a relationship with this God. I want to know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. And we have to grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ, and not just knowledge of. We can say we know about Jesus, but do we know Jesus? There's a difference there. We come to know Jesus as we celebrate the sacraments. We come to know Jesus in prayer. And you can pray any way you want, but when you pray, say, Lord, I want to get to know you better. I want to know your love. I want to be on fire with your love so that I can go forward and do what I'm supposed to be doing. So we do it through prayer, and we also grow in our relationship to Jesus through service, serving other people, especially those who are poor, especially those who have no one to care for them. When we care for them, we're saying, God, this is what you want me to do. It. I do it in your name because I'm grateful for what you've done for me. How can I not serve other people if I truly love them? How can I not give my life if I know that giving my life will bring this person into heaven? But that's what we're commissioned to do. Jesus put it this way before he ascended to the Father, and we'll be celebrating the ascension very soon. Jesus said, go out into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There it is from Scripture, just what I said. That's how we get people into heaven. That's how we get ourselves into heaven. Because if we don't do it, we're not going to heaven because we're not doing what God wants us to do. So as Christians, we have to constantly rethink what we're doing and what we're not doing. We have to constantly ask God for help. We have to be in a healthy Christian community where we're not afraid to go up to someone and say, what you're doing is wrong. You're going the wrong direction. Come with me, walk with me. Let's walk together so that we can do what is right and good and holy. That's a strong Christian community. I don't know that the Catholic Church in this country in general is healthy like that. But if it isn't, we have to work on it. I need you, you need me. Nobody can replace me. God says that. Nobody can replace you. If you don't do the work God has given you, nobody's going to be able to do it the way you do it. Think of that. That's God. Out of the billions of people, everybody is unique. Your gifts aren't unique, but you are unique. So the way you do what God wants you to do is unique. Now, today's gospel is really great for a baptism, because if we listen to what Jesus is saying, he's kind of throwing us a curveball, because he's not sticking with the, let's say, the old template, the old software. He's putting new software into us. Because what does he say? Well, first of all, we know the great commandment, right? Love God fully, completely. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. So what does Jesus say in the gospel? He says, love one another. Our mind goes, oh, yeah, I know that. Love your neighbor as yourself. But he doesn't stop there. Love one another as I have loved you. So he's ratcheting up this love of neighbor. You know, it's not just being nice and kind. What he's saying is, die for other people. Die to yourself. Die physically. Die willfully, so that you can better serve, be a slave of everyone else. So, you know, Jesus is not some nice guy that says, just be nice. He says, if you really want to be my follower, you got to let go of everything. I don't care what it is, money, family, possessions, house, home, politics. Those are nothing compared to doing the work of God, which is given to us in baptism. You still want to have Lucy baptized? Okay. You got to raise her this way. I'm here to help you. Deacon Ed's here to help you. That's why we're here. That's why the family of Christ is here, to help you. Because there is nothing more important, nothing more, I'll put it in kind of a human way, fulfilling than to know the love of God and then want to share that love with other people. That's why we were created. We weren't created to be billionaires or to necessarily do some kind of new vaccine, whatever. That may be part of our giftedness, and we do it as a way of showing God our gratitude and helping other people. But we've also got to share consciously our faith in Jesus Christ. It's not enough just to go out and help someone, let's say, with food or shelter. We got to do that, yes, absolutely. But the true life-giving food and presence is God. And incidentally, if you think it's a difficult thing to do, it's not really. Because as some people put it, every single human being, doesn't matter whether they're Christian or Hindu or Muslim or pagan or atheist, everyone is wired to desire God. God did it. He put it into everybody's heart. They have a desire there, and because they have a desire there, if they constantly pay attention to it, they're going to be drawn to God. Doesn't matter who they are, where they are. So when we go out to people, we're not just dealing with people who have no concept of greatness in God and who God is and what they desire. What we do is we have to kind of hit some of the keys that will help them see more clearly who they are in the eyes of God and what God wants for them. So baptism, Eucharist, confirmation, all the sacraments are not just these lovely ceremonies we go through. They have earth-shattering effects. Again, heaven and earth are combined right now because of God's power and God's desire for us. God is, in one sense, on his knees. You remember he got on his knees to wash the feet of the apostles. In a sense, God is on his knees begging us to look at him, to love him, let him love us, so that we can help people to know God and one day be with God in heaven. And yes, it may seem daunting. I think it seems more daunting today because we have all these adverse opinions and views, and you got Facebook and you got this news organization, you got that news organization. Yesterday I was praying the rosary as people who were supporting abortion were protesting across the street, and I was listening to what they were saying. I'm thinking, you know that's not true. That's not true. So we have to focus on the truth. who is God, incidentally, it's not a thing, a philosophy, it's God, and proclaim it, even if it means we're going to be tortured and killed. Because there again, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. I loved you unto death, unto this horrible death on a cross. But we also know, and Paul says this beautifully, says, if we die with Christ, we will rise with him on the last day. So God has it all figured out. He's done all the research. He's done all the gifting. He's done everything we need him to do so that we can be on fire with zeal and joy. And, you know, there's nothing worse than a down-in-the-mouth Christian. You know what I mean? I don't want to be with Christians that are, oh, this is terrible. Oh, horrible. We're supposed to be bringing the joy of Jesus Christ into the world, the light of Christ, which is about freedom. Freedom. Freedom to do things we never thought we could do in the name of God because we are his children. We have been stamped, and that's what baptism does. We get stamped with the image of Jesus Christ so that when we go into the world, we are another Christ. And you who are lay people, you really have the bigger job, but I don't know that we've made that transition in the church to thinking that co-responsibility of the laity. You're out in the field, so to speak, every day at your jobs, at your families, at wherever you are. So you have this responsibility to take what we're celebrating right now, what we believe, and take it into the world and tell people about it. To bring Jesus up in conversation, one of the easiest ways I know of is when you're talking with someone and they're saying, you know, I really don't feel well or whatever. Can I pray for you right now? We all can do that. We should be doing that. We have the power of God to pray for other people. And you don't have to do some long prayer. You can say, Lord Jesus, please bless my friend Susie. Amen. But can you imagine what people will think of us when we do that, that we really care about them and that we really believe what we say we believe? But that's the challenge we have. That's the challenge Lucy will have as she grows up. Her parents will have that commission to teach her to be Jesus Christ. And we as a community are challenged to support Lucy and her family so that she can be truly the fulfillment that God wants her to be in the world. So this is true of all of us. In fact, every day we should be waking up and saying, oh, I was baptized. I am an adopted child of God. I am this powerful, authorized, commissioned person, someone to go out into the world and do great things in the name of the Lord. So we got to get rid of that mentality. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. Well, you're not worthy. But God makes us worthy. So don't even use that as an excuse. You know, we say, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. God says, don't you worry about that. I'm going to give you what you need. And I make you worthy because you are my child. So get rid of the excuses. Throw them away. Go back to what happened in your baptisms. And then each day practice that baptism. Because it's not a one-time deal. It keeps on going throughout our lives. When we receive the Eucharist, it keeps on going throughout our lives. The sacrament of confirmation keeps on going throughout our lives. It doesn't end in any way. It gets fulfilled in heaven. So we have to keep practicing it. So as we continue, we're going to pray for Lucy and her family. And let's pray for ourselves as well, that we will remember that we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, and that we have been commissioned to get out there and make sure that everybody knows about Christ so that one day we'll be the saints who are in a church when another child is baptized.